making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Nice. Oh.
Well, I'm running down a road trying to loosen my load. I got seven women on my mind.
Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, is with us. He's brought to you by Dan Shaughnessy, brought to you by Mohegan Sun. Unlimited possibilities await you at Mohegan Sun. Plan your stay at MohiganSun.com. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Beetle.
How are you?
You like the Eagles, Dan?
Nice to see you.
Yeah, a little bit overrated.
Oh, really?
But, yeah, they're very commercial. I mean,
the real group, top five group.
The real rockers kind of scoffed at them a little bit. You know, just a little too commercial.
Snooty.
A little too saleable. You know, just sellouts. You know.
Hotel California's a pretty good one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and they had good infighting. Did you ever see the documentary? It was interminably long. It was like a five-hour Eagles thing. All right, did you ever see that?
Hardy I did watch that, yeah.
Went on forever.
Yeah.
Very indulgent band, you know, which a lot of them are, but it's okay.
All right. Yeah. Well, you're with us, and you wrote a column yesterday that...
yeah, Zoe loved that. He was,
big time.
Tweeting me, texting me, all that stuff.
Big time column yesterday.
You finally broke.
It was not easy for me, Zoe.
It sounds like you're out on baseball.
What was breakpoint?
Sounds like you're very much down on your sport.
I think breakpoint was day three against the Royals.
Dan Shaughnessy, who has been honored by Baseball's Hall of Fame. He is an award winner at Baseball's Hall of Fame.
Saw that you went on with High Heat yesterday.
Upset with baseball.
Yeah. Yep.
Dan, that was one of your best columns in a while, my friend.
Oh,
gotta say,
you,
that one's very popular.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's getting a lot of clicks on the website.
Yeah, it was like, it's interesting. Like, old people still like check the website, and they do read about baseball.
Yeah.
We noticed that.
Okay.
And they comment, and they interact in that meeting. Not so much on Twitter, but on the commentary below the column.
Right, they'll post below the story,
and
or will
that,
they send an email, emails,
right?
So would you say, just since yesterday, if you've seen any of your comments or emails, do you have any support from that generation? Because I feel like even though you're saying, hey, it's the senior citizen department now with baseball, my feeling is there are the senior citizens who agree with you to a level and say, yeah, some of this needs to get better. I mean, some of this needs to change. This sport could be better.
Surprising amount of agreement in that column for something that I wrote. I mean, it hardly ever happens. So, you know, it's unusual, not used to that sort of response. It's usually, you know, you suck, you're wrong. You know, that's okay.
Okay, out of all the points you made in this column, and we went over most of them yesterday, what do you think is the strongest?
Ooh.
There's one part of this that really sort of jumps off the page at me.
I wonder if you're going to say how today's players don't think there's any problem.
No, because I sort of expected that.
I know, players.
The one
players
that jumped off the page of me is Verducci that you referenced.
The 3.5
minutes.
3 minutes and
45 seconds between action.
Horrible.
That is really
unacceptable.
Really bad.
Because you start to say, why am I like sitting here and why? What's really bothering me? And then you read a stat like that. And I went up to him at the cage in New York, and I said, he said, yeah, he got a stopwatch out, and just I don't know what the sample was, but it's you know, it's been used, and he's a pretty thorough guy. And
he's not putting it out there. Unless
and
he's
that's
got
that
evidence.
Basically that's what we're seeing, and that's a big part of the problem. Unacceptable.
I love these comments. I just started reading them. First comment on the story. As a huge baseball fan at 65 years old.
Yeah, they're all like that.
I totally agree with this column. I'd say more, but I have to hobble to the pitching mound to make my third pitching change of the inning. Back soon. Some of these guys are witty, too.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
It was like an enormous amount of, and again, in my email and those comments, people over 60, whatever, you know, people who watch baseball. And they, you know, like we've talked about this, you go to some picnic or whatever, and the people in the back room are the old people watching the baseball game.
Can I just read these comments for the next 2 hours and get your reaction? I don't say this very often, but I completely agree with Dan.
Yeah, that's a beauty.
Baseball has become the sanctuary of senior citizens. So true. And guess who advertisers don't target? Baseball needs to get a lightning shot or it's not going to survive. And then Geezer Geek agrees.
Geezer.
It says, I second that about Shank. Calls you Shank. Shank's column. He says, I'm a traditionalist, but the game needs a major overhaul. Starting with eliminating the shift and limiting the number of relief pitchers that can be used in a game. Another person comments, that it is a good one. Daniel, Mr. Henry would like to see you in his office. But there's a lot like this. There seems like there's a lot of support. There's not really
from older people,
a good argument on the other side of this. No. The argument, Dan, lies in how do you fix it.
I know, and I'm not good at that either. I'll tell you this, Beetle. I am not in favor of outlawing shifts.
I'm not either.
I am. Oh, that is, that's your defense, man. Put them where you want. You get nine, put them where you want.
Yeah,
it's up to the
good,
offense to figure it out.
You're such a good hitter at that point. Why don't you slap it the other way?
Yeah, that's up to the
offense
to
figure it out. You're a major league hitter.
Yeah.
Hit it the other way.
Hit it the other way.
I can't believe how dominant that way of thinking is and how many people are on board with that, even some old baseball traditionalists. I don't understand why you would say that. It's like in football.
Yeah.
You got 11,
well,
put them where you want to put
them. It's like saying you can't play nickel defense against a pass set.
Yeah. I mean, come on. So anyway, I don't understand that, and it's a hard fix. I mean, I can get into pitch clock and things like that. You know, fire all the analytic guys. You know, there's certain things you could do, but that was a joke. I wasn't only kidding. You know, don't see anyone lose their jobs. But, no, it's trouble. And,
see, it's
and
funny. The shift is actually entertaining to me. It's like, honestly, can the guy get a hit against this?
And, you know,
that makes it entertaining. Now you want to eliminate it? No. It's not a problem.
Do you know the analytics told him to play J.D. Martinez in right field? Do you know that?
And so what have they done? They haven't listened to that.
No, didn't he play there last night?
Oh, you mean like for one particular year?
Oh, yeah.
I think you meant like over the course of the season they wanted him to play.
When they sit Bradley and they use Pierce and like that. That was where that came from last night.
Oh, I did not. That I did not know.
I think the manager said that to everybody, you know, that the analytics people said that's the best place for him on a night like this.
The data
says.
What the hell is that based on?
I don't know, but right field in Fenway is
huge. Right field is massive.
It's hard. You know, you got the sun coming down, and it's a tremendous amount of space.
Well, not only that, you hit one down the line,
and
it bangs around in the corner, and forget it. It can roll easily into an inside-the-park home run down there with a guy like J.D. chasing it.
The data. I saw that on Twitter, so somebody could have made it.
Okay, well, no, it may be true, but this is what it is, Dan. It's weighing, which it's as if you are committing to having J.D. Martinez and Pierce in the lineup, and what the data will probably do is say who's going to be more of a train wreck in
right.
And it says, oh, they're both train wrecks, but Pierce is going to be worse. Therefore, you put J.D. Martinez in right.
But
that's how they make, and that might be true.
But Beetle,
that seems
reasonable. You could have Benintendi in center, keep Betts where he is, and you use the guy in left.
Right.
I mean, that would be what I would generally recommend, given the amount of space. Like having Manny play right instead of left. In my view, but I'm not an analytics guy. I don't know what the data shows.
Yeah, I don't know what. See, I'm curious to know what they plugged in to come up with this.
Yeah, I don't know.
Resolution.
Interesting.
Or how they landed on this. Baseball certainly has a problem, and the real question is how do you fix it? But not only that, is the game willing to change?
I don't know, man.
Rob Manfred seems like a guy who wants baseball to change, wants to speed it up, wants to implement a lot of different changes, wants to be sort of dramatic in his changes. Will the players go for it? Will baseball be able to crush them on it and just unilaterally go forward with the changes? Are they willing to do it? What's essential? I mean,
it takes so much time, though.
So players don't think there's an issue at all.
No.
I don't blame
them,
though.
The rest of the sport? What about front office people? What about people in the league office? What's your sense?
They have. I mean, again, attendance is down in 21 out of 30 places. And, you know, we don't get the measure of that here as much because, you know, the ballpark's a star and the team's really good and people go. But in a lot of towns, you watch some of these games, and it's going the wrong way. I think it's going to be the lowest since 2003, and that's got to be an issue for them. You know, they're surviving on the revenue sharing and the local TV revenues. It's like we talk about the Tampa Bay Rays. The reason they're in business is because they're a television show for the old people in Florida, and they still watch it. So their revenues aren't bad. You're still reading comments, Pete. I can see you chuckling over there.
No, I
don't. I don't blame the guys for resisting it, though. But, I mean, if you're brought up a certain way to play the game, and you played the game the way your whole life, why would you – why wouldn't you be oblivious to it?
Of course.
Because it's the way we play. This
and, you know,
is the
I've
game.
Seen stuff.
It's going to take generations, Dan, to change this game.
Yeah, to get back to a quicker pace. You know, you see, well, eliminate batting gloves. You can't do that. Guys come up with them since the time they're 5 years old.
You can do it. You can change
that.
The way games are played. Look at football and the way that's heading.
Wait, batting gloves have to go?
I've seen proposed solutions from my great readers. You know, all the tweaking of the gloves at the time.
Oh, Vladimir Guerrero would love
because
that.
Of the tweaking.
Yeah.
Not because they somehow, if you go without them, it's going to make for a better game.
That's why I love Guerrero. He would just grab it with his bare hands.
One of my son's coaches wouldn't allow him in high school here.
Really?
You know. Yeah, there was there. You couldn't use them, even in those cold April days.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, guys hated it because you know you're used to it. I mean, if you're used to it, it'd be tough, old school. Wood bats and no gloves.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
I've never heard of you have to ditch your gloves.
Old school.
There should be rules against you fidgeting with your gloves.
Yeah.
Like that needs to go.
The pace of play, I think you can do a time, you know, a clock. I think that can be done. I don't think that, you know, relievers, like they got to face two guys or stuff like that. That feels artificial to me. I don't think
if you're going to wear the glove and you're going to wear the Velcro glove, you should be allowed to wear it, but they should come up with a tape. They should have to tape over it.
But it's all routine. It's like routine.
But you can't mess with the glove when you have tape over it.
They're just used to it. Yeah. They just do it. They step out.
God, Nomar was so annoying with that.
Yeah, he was a forerunner.
He was the worst,
that,
man.
Yeah.
More with Dan Shaughnessy, 617-779-0985. You want to bring your comments from the comment section of Life with Dan, you could do that now. Dan's dates today at 12:50. I already see Dan preparing over there, so I'm assuming they're going to be good. All this on the way here on Zolak and Bertrand.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey!
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Dan Shaughnessy is with us in our Town Fair Tire Studios. I do want to remind everybody that coming up this Saturday is the Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive. It's happening this Saturday, the 14th, at the Best Western in Woburn, 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. The first 80 donors will receive a coupon for a free appetizer to Waxy O'Connor's, which is right there. And stop on in, have some lunch.
Waxy's pretty good.
Have a brew, good spot.
Pretty good.
And this is coming at an important time because yesterday the American Red Cross issued an emergency blood shortage alert. That's right. They put
Shark
this
attacks.
Out. No, not related to that, but they've issued an urgent call for eligible donors, all blood types, and especially type O. They are looking for blood donors right now because they need to replenish at the blood banks. So they've got blood drives going on right now, including ours this Saturday at the Best Western in Woburn. Walk-ins are welcome. You can also schedule an appointment at redcrossblood.org. The Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive, Saturday, 10 to 3:30. The Best Western in Woburn is where you want to be this coming Saturday. So please give and be there Saturday. Dan Shaughnessy is with us, as I mentioned. One of the things you mentioned in your story about baseball, Dan, is the aggressive approach, we will say, at the plate. The all-or-nothing aggressive approach that has led to skyrocketing strikeouts. It has also led to the ball going out of the yard at a higher rate, which I'm always a fan of.
Sure.
Everybody loves the long ball. But the aggressive approach and launch angle have sort of overtaken things.
Yes.
Nerds.
Do you know who's in favor of that? Do you know Nerds. Who likes that? Do you know who's been supportive of that publicly?
Who?
That would be the owner of your Boston Red Sox.
I think it was evident. I didn't think we were nearly aggressive enough. And, I think our approach was lacking for a good part of the season.
Was that something you tried to address?
It was something that was being discussed throughout the season.
It's an easy thing to say, but health is so important.
Shut up!
That's back in spring training. Sean Henry, Tom Werner.
One of the worst days ever.
And that was the day where he, you know, crapped all over basically Chili Davis.
Yeah, it was the coaching staff's fault.
We would have had significant power last year if we'd have had a different approach. That's my opinion. It may not be true, but I think we have a very good offense.
Yeah, new approach. We need a new approach is what we need. And so we went out and we spent $110 million on the, as Alex Speer called him, the poster boy for baseball's launch angle revolution, J.D. Martinez.
And they got
that was
that
what
night.
He called him. That story that I referenced, poster boy for the launch angle revolution, was written March 27th by Alex Speer.
Well, and
he's right. I mean, he's not wrong. Right.
They agreed to terms with Martinez the night of that press conference, like 5 hours later, whatever
yes.
it was. So I think they kind of knew. That was coming when they had that
you would hope.
Ridiculous session with us that day. But, when you listen to it now, sure, it was the coaching staff's fault, and we needed guys to keep launching, keep swinging up.
which is what J.D. Martinez has done and is completely mashed, but he also hits for average.
Yes, and this team...
As does Mookie Betts.
And this team does not swing and miss a lot. They do not strike out on a par with the other teams. I mean, for the most part.
Which makes it easy to watch them.
Yes, that's better.
Well, the rest of baseball is dying on the vine. At least here, Dan, at least you can watch it and be entertained because your team is good.
Team is
and
really
Kansas
good.
Kansas City, what the hell's the point?
What's the point?
In Baltimore, what is the point? Why would you sit down and watch your team?
White Sox, Orioles, Royals, all on a pace to lose more than 108.
Oh. And there's a bunch of other teams that are on pace to lose a ton, too.
Oh, sure. Gets down. It's just there's really almost no middle. I mean, you got a team. Texas comes in. They're in last place. Toronto comes in. They're 20 games out.
What's Cleveland? Cleveland's, what, 10 games above 500? And they're leading that division.
They're in the cushy division, right.
Yeah, but still, they're at least going to win that division.
Oh, sure.
Can that team give any of the other big three trouble?
Well, watch out for this Machado thing the next 3 weeks because they're in it.
Yankees.
And if where he goes, you better hope he goes to the National League if you're a Red Sox fan. Because that's not gonna help matters any, but Cleveland. So they need to shore up their bullpen. They have issues there, but they mash. They've got good starters.
Manager's pretty good.
Great
though,
manager.
Right?
So yeah, and they'll be able to set things up because they'll be able to set up the rotation, all the stuff. They're not going to have to play a one game playoff, which is ridiculous. Given that someone winning 105 games is going to have to play that game. So yeah, there's all kinds of things going on there.
617-779-0985. But as I was saying, this team is good. So maybe the rest of baseball not being watched or the attendance thing is not going to catch up here. And how long will it take before attendance is a problem at Fenway?
Oh, I don't think.
Like an actual problem.
I mean, it has softened, you know, since the consecutive sellout phony streak, the thing they had going there. I mean, it's been, and you know, you see more push for them to sell tickets, like
it's weather related,
in-house
too.
Ads and stuff than you used to see. Stuff like that. The weather was crap in the springtime. April weeknight games, all that stuff. So, I mean, they're marginally down, and you see empty seats, but no, they're not going to have an issue there. The ballpark is a star. It's part of the Freedom Trail, tourist trap. They have a huge payroll. They win a ton of games. They're still popular. No question about it.
I wonder if that's why they're going to hang on to that thing forever.
Oh, yes. You'll be taking your grandchildren there.
You don't want it to go.
Looking behind those poles.
At this point,
doesn't that suck?
Looking behind those poles.
We're never going to get an updated state-of-the-art baseball stadium.
You are not.
Even though you can make them look, you know, retro and have a great retro look to it.
Not here.
You can't do it.
Forget it.
We're never going to get it.
I'd just like to do the contracts of that new thing. You know, all the payoffs and... Payola and
why can't you at least just rip the seats out?
I mean, you look at it now. Listen, it's great. And I'm glad that it got restored to the point where it is now.
But, seats a little small for a fella like yourself.
Yeah, I mean, you know what the biggest problem is? It's not that. It's the seat in front of you.
Oh, yeah, the knees.
The knees.
Kill you.
Worst part.
Kill you. I saw Bill Walton try to cram in there and right
field. Four innings max for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm glad that they restored it to the point where it is now.
Yeah,
it's nice. I'm glad that that's the way it will... If it goes out, that's the way it would go out. Mm. But come on. That is not, you
come
can't
on.
Do that forever. You can't do that forever.
Do it!
But they're going to want to.
Why can't they rip the seats out and put new seats in?
Because you have to scoop the concrete
because
the bowl.
It's not about the seats.
No, I understand
it's
that,
about,
but you...
It's about,
you know, that concrete below, those steps are set in a certain
You'd have to
measure.
Basically tear down the whole building.
You'd have to scoop out all the concrete and start over.
Mm.
Yeah. And you'd have your attendance would be down like 10,000 right away. Or 5,000, whatever, you'd lose a
so
ton
what?
Of seats.
More intimate.
I understand.
Yeah.
But the cost of scooping out the bowl is significant. Yeah. That's a big
problem. Right. That's basically like tearing your house down to the studs.
Yeah.
Because everything underneath would then have to be removed.
Like to do
that. So everything underneath in the concourse would have to be gutted and taken out for you to redo the way the concrete slabs
and
are
with the poles and all that stuff.
Yeah, structurally, you're not going to do that.
And if you have a lot of money, just build your own house. Like some people.
And with it being a historic status, it's not going anywhere.
No.
Right? They can't tear it down.
Yeah.
It's going to stay there until the end of time.
Do you know the story about Tito?
Until the asteroid hits.
Tito told the story about, it's in the book, but the bullpens. There was a time when they wanted to get more seats in right field. So they said they had to do some work in the bullpens out there so that the players are too close together, the two pitchers in double barrel action in the bullpens. It was a dangerous situation.
Bullpen safety.
So they had to go before some historic commission, whatever, and Tito got the job in the wintertime to go. And he knew they just wanted to put more seats out there, and it was really a phony thing about the danger to the players. But he had to go give this pitch, and he says in the judge or whoever was in charge of the commission was not buying it. It's like, we know what you guys are up to. Get out of here. So Tito goes back and says, well, Larry, didn't work. What about the safety of the pitchers, Larry? Because I will figure it out.
I remember that, though. That was public. That became a public thing.
Yeah, because of their status and all that stuff. Any change has got to be approved.
Yeah, they need bullpen safety. It was a bullpen safety.
That was the ruse.
Wasn't part of that, though, that they wanted to actually bring the fence in and right, too?
Well, that was involved. And, you know, it was going to make more seats, and it would shorten the fence a little bit and right. Yeah, those things were all in play.
So they would shorten it up, and they'd add more seats.
Oh, yeah, while they're at it.
Add more revenue.
Yeah.
Which means I bet the curve in right field beyond the pole would probably have been brought in, too.
I would think.
To align with the bullpen wall, right? So it would have been more seats in right, more seats behind the bullpen, shorter porch in right.
Saving the safety of those pitchers out there.
Because it's all about the safety. It's about the safety of all those guys involved.
As soon as they said no, Larry's like, yeah, we'll figure it out.
617-779-0985. Dan Shaughnessy believes that baseball has some serious issues that they need to fix. You going to the Hall of Fame this year, by the way, Dan?
I think so.
Yeah?
A little cluttered there. Six guys. You know, but I know the writer, Sheldon Ocker, the Cleveland paper. It's the last weekend of July.
Okay.
When does camp open?
Last weekend of July.
26th. There you go.
You'll be sweating it out of camp. I'll be in Cooperstown, the Onondaga.
Yeah.
Alan Trammell.
Are you going to get a spot at the hotel?
No, they put us close, and it's pricey. But I get a pass where I can go into the hotel. I've unvetted access.
What's the main hotel?
They will give you a hotel close by.
Yes.
Oh,
you can walk. You can walk to everything.
Oh, so that's...
What's the hotel?
Who cares? It's the same.
The Onondaga is the big
sweet
hotel. You should go there in the off season.
Really?
So you would. I know you're not a. You know, but you would love it. It's beautiful. Beautiful. Great golf course there.
Huh.
Yeah. Hang.
Yeah, it's very nice. It's very nice. And then, like every great baseball player ever, just sort of hangs out there for the
weekend. Yeah, it's where you had like breakfast
guys
next to Boggs and who was doing the
Sandy
karaoke?
Sandy Koufax, the whole thing. Yeah, we had the whole thing. It was tremendous.
Karaoke.
Hardy has headlines for us. 617-779-0985. We do need to get caught up on sharks. There's shark news.
Thank God.
There's another thing going on, too. There's a breaking, like, dolphin rescue going on right now.
Where?
Where's that?
On the Cape.
You're going to break right now?
Yeah.
I just have to say, I mean, breaking news and rescues. The wild boar boys in Thailand, that's one of the greatest stories of all time.
Yeah.
And that guy, they should be a statue, that diver who died. To you know, rescue those boys and put that oxygen.
Put that on the list as well, Dan.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll put that on the list.
I saw a truck driving around the Cape last week. Marine animal rescue. Like a ambulance thing.
Yeah.
I haven't seen those before.
For situations like these.
You probably saw they were escorting sea turtles that they rescued months ago. They were setting them loose in the wild.
Yeah, I saw
down
that.
In the Cape.
They put a little monitor on them so they know where they are.
They glue it onto the shelf. Did you see that? Yeah. All right. Headlines with Hardy. More of that next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Red Sox now have a win streak at 7 games. They beat the Rangers 5-0 last night at Fenway Park. Stephen Pierce, a home run in his first Fenway at bat.
Yeah, it was a very fortunate at bat. I'll tell you that. Dramatic. Worked a good count. And they would have put good wood on it and, you know, give us an early lead.
Wood. J.D. Martinez also had a 3-run homer in the 8th last night. Hector Velasquez will get the start tonight. Christian Vasquez going to miss 6 to 8 weeks. Needs surgery on his broken pinky finger. World Cup semifinal coming up later today. France will take on Belgium. At Wimbledon, Serena Williams and Camilla Giorgi split the first 2 sets. Serena is now up 4-2 in the 3rd set. Some rumors going around about Marcus Smart to the Sacramento Kings. Beat writer in Sacramento, Jason Jones, says there's nothing to the report, saying it's not true. And the Tampa Bay Lightning tweeted, we have signed Nikita Kucherov to an 8-year contract extension worth an average of $9.5 million. Headlines are brought to you by Doctors Robert Leonard and Matthew Lopresti, the hair doctors of David Portnoy at 1-800-GET-HAIR. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Shark in awe. Tourists on a whale watch out of Boston Harbor ended up spotting something rarely seen in that area. That is, a great white shark swimming close to the surface. About a dozen great whites have been spotted near the Cape this year, but it's rare to see them in the area where whale watch cruises go. And farther south, the first great white shark of the season was tagged off the coast of Truro. The Atlantic White Shark Conservancy says the 11-foot shark was a quarter of a mile off the coast. The Conservancy has tagged more than 130 sharks in the last 5 years. It tracks their locations when they pass by buoys stationed off the coast.
And speaking of sharks, Patriots star Rob Gronkowski is spending part of his season swimming with sharks. Check out this picture from the Discovery Channel. It shows the Pat star tight end practically touching the shark. Gronk is one of several stars who will appear during Shark Week on the Discovery Channel later this month. He will be on an episode of Monster Tag that will air July 23rd.
They said that shark is a quarter mile long. A 400-yard shark.
That's not what he said.
It's a quarter mile.
Sharking off.
Offshore. It's Fox 25 last night. Mark
Sharking off.
Yeah, it's Mark Bloom and Vanessa Welch.
Sharking off.
Sharking off.
Sharking off.
How about that?
Sharking off.
Three I almost said shock stories. Three shark stories in under a minute there. One is, there's all of a sudden...
We should have Billy Lanny come in. Say shock and awe. Shock and awe. Now say shark and awe. Shock and awe.
Shark and awe.
Lanny! How about this? There's a great white in Boston Harbor now?
Well,
close by?
I mean, it's saltwater, right? It is, right?
Yeah.
It's all connected.
Yeah. Like I said... Those things ain't the smartest. They swim. All they do is swim, eat, and make baby sharks. That's all they do. All it takes one dumbass to stray away, and that's what he had. That's what you got now. Pop it up here and there, everywhere. Oh, it's only a dozen. Dozen too many. Dozen too many for this area. Why aren't we just taking them out? Take them out.
Because
I know they're protected.
You can't remove the apex predator from the food chain.
Why?
Can't do it.
Why?
Cannot do it.
Because they're not seen usually on wells. Why wouldn't they be by the wells? They should eat the wells.
The wells? Like Wells,
Shut
Maine?
Up.
What are we talking about? The whales?
I never understood protecting a stupid
shark.
They
eat seals.
And they eat whales.
Oh, yeah, but I'm saying primarily you see the seals. The sharks are not far behind.
If the sharks weren't there, you'd be overrun with seals. Your beaches would be... overtaken by seals.
And this is what he wants to do now. Now he wants to kill the seals.
Kill everything.
That's Felger's deal. He wants to kill
all
the seals.
Kill the sharks.
He wants to start hunting the seals.
Do you guys kill bats when they're in your house?
Kill them. No, Dan, we save them.
You're not supposed to kill them. They eat mosquitoes.
Yeah. Well, how often do you have a bat in your house?
How many mosquitoes do you have in your house? Jesus, what do you live inside one of those propane tubes?
Not the point.
Mosquito magnet?
No, he's
saying
that.
You know, whenever you get a bat in the house, what do you do? Well, I don't know. It's happened once 25 years ago.
No, way more than that. I get a tennis racket, and I do kill them.
How often does it happen?
Wait a minute. You what?
Wait a minute.
In Newton,
we just found something out about
Wildlife,
Dan Shaughnessy,
man.
That he chases bats around where? Like your attic?
They come down.
From where?
How often?
Chimney. Could it get through a little screen when it's very hot. When it's very hot.
A little screen where? Like your back door?
They can fit through the top of the pencil head. You know, they can make themselves very small.
Give me an idea.
That's a lie.
Give me an idea.
Talk to any bat person. No.
I don't know any bat people. I don't know any bat people.
I know them.
Give us an idea as to the frequency.
I would say there's only been one this year. There were years there'd be like four or five.
You know. Four or five bats.
In the house.
Not simultaneously.
I understand.
Bat sightings, episodes like that.
Episodes? You know.
So like once a month,
yeah,
May through September.
Yeah, you step out of the shower, he's on the other side of the curtain, good evening. You know, right there. Hanging upside down.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
In your bathroom.
Yes.
Hanging from the shower curtain.
Correct.
Rod. Get the hell out of here
they
with that.
They scare the hell out of you.
You want me to buy this? Are you sure you don't have
some
sort
of... You have one of those old
of...
tennis rackets that like,
have
the wooden
one
frame
every floor.
And you got to tighten up the corners?
I have the aluminum tennis rackets on every floor.
Are you serious?
Yes.
On every floor?
Yes.
At like
very handy.
You live in a haunted house?
You got a freaking, you got some guy with a flat head?
All my kids have bad
downstairs
stories.
Next to the chandelier?
And Dan resides at Hotel Transylvania.
What, are you sleeping in a crypt?
I don't mean to suggest that you're inept in any way, but this seems like a pretty easy fix.
The guy
patch the holes where the bats.
Where are the bats coming in
to infest your home?
Hey, screw that. We'll just go buy more rackets, honey.
Do you have a nest or something?
Play it again. It's cheaper.
No, it's the situation's been dealt with. The bat guy came. You know.
The bat guy came.
Yeah, we had a new roof put on. Batman. A new roof put on last year, so a lot of the ceiling was not redone when they did the new roof. So this year there was a problem again. It hadn't been a problem in a few years, but yeah.
So then they were getting in through the roof.
The little seams under the new roof, yes.
Like the soffits?
Yeah, they took off two old roofs, put a new roof up there, but yeah. And again, any little screen, little things, there's a lot of trees in the area and there's just bats. We have coyotes too. You have coyotes, right?
Well, yeah, coyotes are everywhere, okay. But they're not in my house.
I ain't chasing those around with a racket.
Because you guys have newer houses. I mean, again, this house is 120 years old.
I don't.
And,
I have an
and
old
it's
house.
A lot of eaves and just, and again, it's the old.
But they're secure. I mean, they could not sneak in the roof or the eaves or any of those things.
You've never had a bat.
Never.
You have an old house.
We have raccoons too, but they're not sitting on the toilet waiting for me to get out of the shower so they can use it next.
No, that's.
Hey, pass a peanut butter.
The only problem I've dealt with in my old house is mice.
Here, guess what? Some trash.
We fixed issue. You know why?
Yeah.
We found a little spot in the foundation where they were coming in.
Right.
So you plug the hole and guess what? No more mice.
Well, bats are very shifty. And the code in our house is, when I know there's one up there, I just go to the next room and say, good evening. And everyone knows there's a bat in the house.
And that's somehow easier than saying there's a bat in the house?
Do you know the bats like
people freak out. People freak out when
they urinate on you?
So often,
when they take flight.
You had to reduce the code phrase by two syllables.
So people freak out. It's they get really big when they fly.
When they urinate on you, and that's how they spread disease.
Shut up.
Yes, they do.
Shut.
This is why you need the
limit. Zoe is not too far off on this one.
I swear to God.
So it's not just the bat flying around. It's the fact that they're peeing
all
the time. They just constantly constant bat urination.
That's how kids get. You got to eliminate because that's how kids get sick. They pee in their cribs.
Is that how they get sick?
We had friends that had
bats peeing on
and
them.
And they had to put plastic
when they're
over
infants?
Stuff.
I didn't know that. I did not read that in the Dr. Spock book. Huh. Brigham and Women's pediatric unit did not alert us to the dangers of a bat peeing on the
here
baby.
Here we go, loading them up. We're getting calls on bats right now. 617-779.
We haven't even gotten Zoe's thoughts on Skomal tagging the shark in Truro,
we need more time.
Sorry to get you off the rails.
No, you did, but I'm glad you did. It was amazing. Do you know anything about Dr. Skomal?
I do not.
Well, Zoe hates the man.
Kurt Schilling. He's Kurt Schilling. Kurt Schilling of shark people.
Say no more. I hate
Dr.
him, too.
Dr. Skomal.
Guy hasn't seen a camera. He doesn't like, hey, make sure I get the right angle here as I tag
Zoe's
this
anger.
Predator. This guy's a pud.
Zoe's irrational anger about Dr. Skomal and the expertise in the shark world that he has. We've got that. And your calls on Dan Shaughnessy's bat problem next.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Shaughnessy the Batman.
Whew.
What a story. The things we learned.
They scare the hell out of you.
Let's get a couple calls on this. Mike in the car. Mike.
Let's go to the experts.
Mike?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
First time, long time. I'm with Dan on this. I've lived in Haverhill for 3 years now, and about 2 years ago, we've seen about 3 bats in the house.
Yeah.
First time we're watching TV and all of a sudden my wife, she saw it first. She freaked out, put the covers over her head. She goes, what is that? And we look up and there's a bat circling our ceiling fan. I was actually able to kill that one with a baseball bat.
Good.
With a baseball bat?
Boy,
you're like J.D. Martinez. You got a good
hand eye.
That's hard to do.
She ran out of the house. I grabbed the bat and it circled a couple times. I timed it up and I whacked it.
That's hard to do.
Think about that. You killed a bat with a bat.
I have a brother-in-law who shot one.
Jesus.
I know.
And you think hitting it with a baseball bat's impressive? How did he shoot it?
Yeah, the one that I had to kill in my life, we shot with BB guns.
Really?
Triangulation to crossfire. That's the key.
Where was this?
It was in my dorm room, 526 Evergreen, East Lansing, Michigan. I was laying there, and we had come home
Why
from the bar.
Why do you have a gun?
And I was...
A BB gun.
Well,
in college.
Michigan, number
and
one.
And there were many guns in the house of the gentleman I was living with. And I came home, and I was laying there drunk, trying just to not throw up and pass out after a night at the bar. And I see this go over my head, and it found its purchase on the bookshelf above my bed,
upside
which was
down.
Just a box spring and a mattress on the floor, because
right.
That's how you do it in college. And I ran upstairs. My friend to this day, Papa, like, Papa, there's a bat in the house. And I said, no, I don't think we're going to, you know, require the use of the 12-gauge. But he had a lot of BB gun rifles. So we went down and...
Like, you know, an air rifle?
Popped the door open, and the three of us, you know, so it really
kind of like going to the carnival, shooting really out the star.
It really wasn't a triangulation to crossfire because we were all in the doorway.
Was the bat in motion or still?
No, it was still, and we boom, 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 boom.
Lit him up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, good thing he didn't urinate on you, as Zoe would say. That's how they spread their disease.
That's how kids get sick, according to Scott
Jim
Zolak.
On the Cape. Jim.
Jim!
Hey, how's it going, boys?
What's up?
Hey, Dan, for guys so experienced, use the wrong tools. You need the garden rake. That way it's a wider form to cramp it against the wall and hit it out of the air.
Not the teeth rake. You need the one that's spread, right? Like a V?
Yeah, the bamboo rake.
Yeah, but when they're flying around, a tennis racket's unsurpassed because it moves quickly and it's got a big area to hit them in.
Not as big as a rake, Dan. And then you can trap them on the wall and just get them on. And I release them live.
Well, Dan goes for the kill.
Well, you know what I've done?
That's the difference between
a couple
you and
times
Dan.
I have trapped them between the window and the screen. And you have like a bat Animal Farm, you know, thing. Like you just slam the window down, he's on the other side, and then he's like trapped.
And what's the resolution to that?
They get out. I'm telling you, the size of a pencil eraser, they can make themselves very small.
Would you stop it?
Ask a bat guy. They do.
All right, so if you've got a concrete wall and you drill a 1/4-inch hole in that concrete wall, you're telling me a bat can squeeze through it? Be careful before you answer.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. Stop it.
Depends on how old the bat is. Oh, my God. All right, so ScoMo down in the Cape, White Shark Conservancy. Yeah. They tagged one in Truro yesterday. What's your issue?
Just him posing for the picture. Where he's tagging. Here, let me turn this way. Watch as I have the rod with the thing that I'm going to tag it with so I can attach it to the shark. Make sure I'm turned so the camera's got a good shot on me. Greg ScoMo, shark expert. It's like Keith Lockhart. I didn't watch the Pops fireworks because I didn't want to see him strutting around. You know, Wiggy with his stupid questions to him. I don't know. That's Keith Lockhart and ScoMo. They're like right there. They love the camera.
I don't get it.
It's all about them.
There's more that
deal. You take a freaking shark.
Talk about, again, this is Dr. Gregory ScoMo.
Doctor. Oh,
Dr.
yeah.
I like to say yeah. Dr. ScoMo.
So you can write
ScoMo.
A prescription. Yeah, nice.
He's a marine biologist. He's an underwater explorer.
I got buddies down in Woods Hole. They roll their eyes at this
He's
guy.
An aquarist and also an author.
Aquatic expert.
He yeah, is. He's an expert.
Yep. Well, I've told you, though, my neighbor, Dr. John Mandelman, also from... the aquatic center
right.
there downtown.
He lobster expert, right?
He does not roll his eyes.
Like the Olympic pool
at Dr. ScoMo.
Oh, good, good for him.
Finds him to
so
be
he's brainwashed.
A worthy colleague yeah. and a
oh,
Is this doctor a soft tissue specialist?
No, he's a legit. His degrees are actually real. He got them from real universities.
Yeah. He can measure fish and stick needles in them.
He's the shark real biologist expert. For the state, for the Department of Fish and Game. Dan, this is someone who actually knows what he's talking about. And for some reason, because when the Conservancy is out there tagging sharks and tracking the sharks, this is sort of the lead guy, right? Yep. I mean, he's the doctor. Zoe thinks he takes too much credit. Or that he's too public of a figure.
It's all his eye. It's
that
all
he
his
should
idea.
Somehow go to the background and yeah. not be known.
What kind of shark doctor is this? This kind of shark doctor that feeds its sharks anti-beaching water,
because right around
and
the
all
boat,
other kinds of stuff that
right
don't
around
work.
A damn boat that the state funds, and you stick things in sharks. Wow, wow.
You know what? Jump in that water and tag that shark. You want to show me something? Put that on Shark Week. I'll watch.
Do you want to know where the great whites are?
Yeah.
Okay, well, he's out there helping to determine that fact.
Why don't you just eliminate him, is my point.
Because you can't, and you know that. Now you're being
obtuse. Quint. Yes.
Now you even
know
better.
I can't believe these things are protected. I can't believe it. They're predators.
They're apex predators. They help maintain the health of the overall ocean.
You like
all that seafood that you shove in your gaping maw when you're down the Cape?
Yes,
the reason why you have a healthy ocean.
Good thing they're there to protect those scallops, boy.
Support that. Yes, because other fish feed on other fish, and it's all one big balance.
Stuck inside the sand. Those sharks, they're not going to find them. Good for you,
What are shark. You afraid of? You're afraid of an attack? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I don't...
That's why we should...
I'd like to enjoy the water a little bit more.
You can enjoy the water just fine.
A little bit. Now you got to be aware.
Oh, no, not that. When there's a shark in the water, get out of the water.
You going Cape next week?
Yeah.
Yeah, you getting in the water?
Yep.
Of course.
Not going to stop me.
Look at you.
Nobody worries about that.
It's not stopping anybody, though. Go to the Cape. Is anyone staying out of the water?
No, I was in the water last week.
Everybody's in the water.
Yeah. It's irrational, though.
I was in the water on a paddleboard. That's when I get nervous. When I'm out there and I'm like, uh-oh, I'm past these boats. I'm on a mooring. I'm actually on this paddleboard. And it probably looks like, seal from the bottom.
Yeah.
The shark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty simple. You don't go in the shark's home if you're afraid of the shark. Yeah. You know?
Just stay away from the seals.
If that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what I don't get about all the complaints about it. No one is not going in. No one is avoiding the beaches on the Cape.
Nobody. Or Nantucket or the video.
Not even Mike Felger, who wants the seals dead, the sharks dead. He wants,
basically
all ocean life to go away.
He sends his dog out first. Pip That's it. Why he even has That's his
like,
dog.
Like Pip
Sally.
It.
Yeah, he just... Pip it. Sally, you go swim past that first break. Test
Stay
it out.
Stay at them oceans. Jesus.
Amen, baby.
What happens
the ocean is the shark's house.
What happens if a shark pees on you? Now, we already know.
Sharks pee in the water.
But if the bat does it... Horrible health consequences, according to you,
there's
sir. What about
infections?
Shark?
I'm telling you, there's the read on it.
Tyler's in Bridgewater. Tyler,
hey, what's going on?
Hey.
What's up?
All right, so if you want a good way to catch a bat inside, my buddy told me this one: take a sock, fill it with rocks, tie it up, throw it up in the air. They latch onto it and they don't let go.
They latch onto the sock.
Yes,
just sinks them.
So that's that Hardy's point about the bat sonar. That the bat, and Beetle said, the bats don't have eyes. They have sonar. That's how they...
Apparently that's wrong.
Apparently they see very well.
Hardy said, go off your deck and just toss a rock out into the woods.
Well, we did that when we were kids. When it got to be dusk and you're still outside playing, you throw a rock up in the air and you see the bats kind of like hone in on it for a second because they think it's a big bug.
How come we don't have lightning bugs right now?
I saw them last week.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wow. Normally we see them all the time.
Maybe the bats ate them all.
Maybe they ate them all.
Noontime hour with Dan Shaughnessy on the way. 90 seconds, no commercials. We'll talk about Kyrie Irving with Dan next.